Planar Prod presents The Attic Monologues. Episode 22, Birds of a Feather.
A boy grows wings. He is expecting this, waiting for it. Unsure if he is glad or angry. He has wished for them, for freedom, for the ability to fly, for escape and the wind and the earth so far, far below. He has wished for the sun, and the stars, and the sky. He knows the story of the boy with wax for wings. He knows that to wish for such things is dangerous. He does not care anymore. His wings, when they come, are charcoal, soot, pouring across the sky like smoke. His end, when it comes, is sudden. To him, at least. The signs have been creeping up on him for months, but his vision is a tunnel view. His friends are vanishing, slipping out of the world, and he does not notice. This is not that story. That was a story that could have been, that would have been, that wasn't. That was a story I had no interest in telling. This story is a blood and bones thing. A dragging of the tide, a moon and sun and stars in tandem. This is a story I must write, and you must be. And in the end, we may all get what we want.
There is a rose growing where my heart should be. It furls and unfurls its petals in time with my pulse, some corrupted form of breathing. There are thorns in my mouth where my teeth should be, when I swallow, when I open my lips to speak. I cut myself. Blood spills across my tongue, down my chin, and the words are muffled by my drowning. And my blood tastes of earth and dying leaves. I imagine myself scooping up sediment from the forest floor, placing a single leaf on my tongue, letting it dissolve in saliva and body heat. There are vines twining around my lungs, my limbs. I feel them constrict when I move, when I breathe. There are branches where my bones should be. If I broke off a rib, snapped a limb, scraped away to my skull, I know I would find the loop of tree rings, counting out the 25 years of my life. Bark shavings would scatter to the floor, sap would seep from the wound, an ant would climb my body, become trapped in the viscous liquid, crystallize. I do not remember how long I've had petals for eyelids. The change has come slowly, and the fading even slower. For I can feel with certainty that most of myself is elsewhere these days. It would be so easy for the rest of me to follow. If I allowed myself, if I simply let go for a moment, my body would wander off without me. It's becoming hard to remember why it shouldn't. I am tired of this world, and I am tired of fighting it. Very soon, I am certain things will end some way, anyway. I only hope the trees will be kind to me.
Huh. Super short one. Well, thank you, Mr. Malik Okoye, a wayward soul, for that vibe, I guess. Who were you? I have, nothing to go on. But, go forth and be happy, I guess. Enjoy freedom. I hope 2022 doesn't freak you out too much. So I googled all these people, all these monologues. I don't know why I didn't think of it before. Malik Okoye was reported missing in 1994, Mitoi Ricci in 1985, Hester De Terre in 1999. Yasmin Hakeem quit her job and vanished from the face of the earth in 2003. Eliana Wickham, she was a teacher at my university. She taught physics. Her partner, Zelda Green, went missing in 2010. Eliana went missing a year later. That's just a few. All these people. All these real people. The ones I could find, at least. The ones who didn't slip between the pages or maybe never existed on paper before they were written down. I couldn't find any references to Noah Markham, or Corbin Blackwell, or Agatha. Maybe the first one is too old for there to be a record, and the other two, maybe they didn't want to be found. But most of them, too many to be a coincidence, or a lie. So all of this is real. I guess I shouldn't be recording them anymore, right? It feels rude to just expose all these people, just reading out their every thought, stripping them down to the bone. I wonder what my monologue would say. How the hell did these things end up in my attic? I mean, we didn't move in until a couple years ago, but I've no idea who owned the house before my mum did. Does that mean the author used to live in my house? Have I slept where they used to sleep? Eaten cereal where they used to eat cereal? God, I feel weird just thinking about it. Maybe I even met them at the house funeral. I don't really remember much about that time. It was, well, peak breakdown time. A-levels and all. It's too weird to think about. I should probably go home, ask Mum, look around, but I don't really want to. I don't want to drag Mum or Ollie into it. That's part of it. But mostly, selfishly, I don't want things to get worse. I think I must be a shit protagonist. I don't know anything that's going on. I don't want to go where the plot is probably leading me. I want to sleep. But I can't. I can't. There isn't time. There isn't... What's the point of all of this? Of any of it? How did we end up here? If I'm the protagonist, then who are the other characters? Do I have a plucky sidekick? Or a love interest? An antagonist? Is it you? Or is there something even worse? When does it end? Do you know?
Dear future Nix, I needed air. Usually the flat is my safe space. It's quiet and warm and everything's muffled. The outside is too loud. The air is too raw on my skin. I feel naked, exposed, seen. I know it's the opposite for you most of the time. There's too much of you, too much in your brain for just one place. I never really understood how you could feel that way. But today, that muffled feeling was like being suffocated. Like the air itself had forgotten how to breathe. So, here I am, at the Caramel and Clove. It's like, without you here, I miss you too much to be myself alone. So I do what you would do. Go where you would go to fill the gap. Even at my worst, I'd always rather be with you than be alone. The Caramel and Clove was mine way before it was yours. But I don't know. The way you fill a space, like it's where you belong, where you've always belonged. And now it feels empty without you. When I came in for a moment, I expected you to be sitting here at the same table as always. I mean, it's also empty because Ambrose isn't here. Athrie isn't here. It's just Maisie. Not that I don't love Maisie, of course, they're great, but it's not the same. I think maybe Ambrose is avoiding me. Or maybe I just think that because that's what I'd do if someone forced me to lie for them and I felt terrible about it. He's probably just out with Athrie, which is good. You wouldn't know this, but for a while, he wouldn't leave after dark. Ever. Or he couldn't He was afraid of the dark. Something happened to him. To both of them, I know, but I never found out what. He and Athri wouldn't tell me. When I called him last week, I almost didn't. The sun was setting and I knew it would be too hard for him, but I couldn't think what else to do. He's always known what to do. He's always fixed everything. It's supposed to be my turn. But I'm scared. I'm so scared. I can't sleep at all. Sometimes I sit at your door and listen to you reading. I miss you. And I know that when you find out, because you will, I can admit that now. When you find out, I'll lose you forever. Nix,
is it National Pity Party Day? Or are you always this morose? Penny for your thoughts? Wow, the silent treatment. How incredibly mature of you.
What are you doing here, Raven?
It's a public space. I'm allowed to be here.
Agatha found you.
Why? Yes, she did. Did you know she was coming? A heads up would have been appreciated.
But then she might have missed you. Nice bruise. Did she give you that?
She did.
I'm sure you deserved it.
Someone woke up on the wrong side of the nest.
My life is kind of falling apart right now, so I don't particularly have time for whatever crisis you're having.
Cruelty does not become you, dear niece. Come now. Is this any way to treat your favourite uncle?
You're not my favourite uncle.
I'm your only uncle.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm wounded.
No, you're not. What do you want, Raven? Ambrose isn't here.
As much as I'd love to see that ray of sunshine, I'm not here for him.
Oh, were you hoping to stalk Nix again?
I'm not stalking them, Bella. Dear God, you got dramatic while I was away.
I got older. 15 years older. I'm a different person than when I was 5.
Not so different. You're still scared, still listening to your mother far too much, still hedging your bets, still lying to yourself about what you want.
Now who's being mean?
I do apologise. Let's move on to less personal topics. Tell me about this pity party you're throwing yourself. I'm sure it's far more important than our family drama.
It is not a pity party. And it's not important.
Oh? Please, do elaborate.
It's really not interesting, I promise.
Of course. I see. Recording secret confessions. To the love interest you've recently and irrevocably betrayed, no less, is the very definition of uninteresting.
It's not like that.
Would you deny your role in the narrative? Are you not in love with them?
No, you know I am, but it's not... I haven't...
Oh? You haven't what?
I wish you'd stayed inside your monologue.
Do you really?
No.
Because I'm the only person in this family you like?
Because Mum is too busy these days hating you to care about whatever I do. It's been great.
Some would call that an unhealthy familial relationship.
I'm going to ask one more time. Are you here to stalk Nix again? Or just give me a heart attack by showing up unexpectedly? Again?
I wasn't stalking your little protagonist. I was surveying.
That sounds like stalking.
Call it what you want. The fact remains that Nix Ryland is no longer your anonymous best friend. They're the protagonist. You don't get to keep them to yourself anymore. Better me follow them around than my sister. Or the author.
No one's seen the author in years.
Except for that lovely death threat that arrived on your doorstep a mere few months ago. And your definition of years is certainly interesting. I seem to recall having a running with them in my lifetime.
2007 is a long time ago.
Feels like yesterday to me.
Because it was yesterday for you. Or a few months ago, at least.
It doesn't matter either way. The author is very real and very interested in you and your beloved friend. You can bury your head in the sand, but it won't take long for someone to dig you back up again. Neither of you will know rest until this is over.
Are you trying to scare me?
No, I'm trying to get you to understand that it doesn't matter what you or your Nyx do until the author is out of the equation. You're part of the narrative now, Bella. You need to act. You need to choose. You need to be the fire before they make you smoke.
And this has nothing to do with you wanting to get revenge for being written.
Of course it's about that. I'm just pointing out that we have mutual interests here. I want to kill the author, and you want to protect your protagonist. The only way to do that is to help me.
So you want me to, what, drop out of uni and go hunting for fairy tales with you?
I mean...
I was joking! I'm not dropping out of uni and going hunting for fairy tales with you. And I'm not doing nothing. I'm biding my time, figuring things out. Right now, Nyx is adjusting to everything. They need time to learn the rules, and I need time to figure out how to tell them that I...
have been lying to them for 8 years?
No. Yes. Whatever you're thinking of saying, don't. I've already thought it 100 times.
Oh, I wasn't thinking a thing. I'll leave you to it, for now. You'll change your tune eventually.
Great. Ominous. Love that.
Keep well, dear niece.
Wait. What are you going to do?
Oh, I don't know. Bother Rosie, maybe. Or my sister. Or perhaps I'll check in with your protagonist.
Don't do that.
Why not? If you won't do your job, it seems I'll have to do one.
Raven, please, give me... Just give me time.
But... time runs out so quickly, little bird.
God damn it!
Thank you so much for listening to the Attic Monologues. If you're enjoying our show, please consider supporting us through our Patreon or Ko-fi to help us compensate the hard work our team puts into every episode. You can find the links in the show notes below. Alternately, you can leave us a review, whisper to the wind, or tell enemies and love interests and friends alike to listen. This episode was written by Morgan Greensmith and produced by Morgan Greensmith, LM Clohessy, and Soren Briarwood. It was directed and script edited by LM Clohessy. The sound design is by Isaac Thompson, and the theme tune was composed by Wilkie Morrison. In this episode, you heard the voices of
Atlas Morgan as Nyx Ryland,
Bonnie Calderwood Aspinwall as Bella Crow,
Drew Citrine as Raven,
Alistair Stewart as the author.
The logo was designed by Soren Briarwood. The social media is also run by Soren Briarwood. You can find us on Twitter at Attic Monologues and on Instagram, Tumblr, Facebook and TikTok at The Attic Monologues. For more information on our show, our crew, our policies and other shows made by our people, visit our website www.planarprod.com. Episode 23, A Heavy Heart, will be out on Wednesday, 27th of September. See you then!
This is Bella. Leave a message. Or just, just text me. Cool. Thanks.
Hey, Bella, it's Seth. You up for a study session tomorrow? I know you have that essay due next week. I hope you're doing okay. Love you.
You've reached Mix Nix. I'm probably rooting through my bag trying to find my phone right now, and I'll answer in 3, 2, 1. In which case, I'm probably asleep. Or my phone is under my laundry. Or dead. That's a very real possibility. Though whether I'm talking about me or my phone is up for debate. You should probably just text me. It's easier.
Hey, Nix. It's Seth. Call me when you have a moment. Just want to check in. Love you.
Today's episode features a trailer for Super Suits, an audio comedy about a law firm in a world of superpowered villains and heroes. If you're looking for another show with a non-binary lead or featuring the fantastic vocal stylings of Alistair Stewart, aka the author, we know you'll adore this one. So without further ado, Super Suits.
Meanwhile, at a law firm in Megalopolis.
Welcome, Harper Hallow. I am Lois, Law Office Integrated Systems. I run the offices. Let's meet your team.
No, Captain Lunacy, it's too similar to Nightcape's costume. Do you want to be sued for trademark violation?
Her sidekick is only 12, so she'll need to comply with supervisory requirements or she'll run afoul of child labor statutes.
Wow, busy night. Why is my orientation at night?
The Coffin King leveled the building without a hero license. Of course he's liable. Where's my blood smoothie?
He is why.
From the Faustian Nonsense Network comes a scripted comedy podcast that asks, what's it like to practice law in a world full of superpowers? Super Suits, coming soon to you.
As per usual, I am more up to date than even the omniscient narrator. Super Suits is available right now, wherever you get your podcasts.